In today's gospel, Jesus challenges Jewish purity codes. It's actually the most extensive passage in the gospel on how Jesus and his followers violated the all-important Jewish purity codes and Jesus' response to the charges against him. The fundamental problem Jesus has with these codes is that the rituals acquired greater meaning than the intentions of the heart. Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah when he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." These purity codes were seen as the pathway to holiness in Jewish culture. Instead of expressing the true holiness of God, ritual purity becomes a means of excluding people considered dirty, polluted, or contaminated. In word and deed, Jesus ignored, disregarded, and actively attacked these distinctions of ritual purity as a measure of spiritual status. In theologian Marcus Borg's view, Jesus turned the purity system with its sharp social boundaries on its head and substituted a radically alternative social vision. He writes, "The new community that Jesus announced would be characterized by interior compassion for everyone, not external compliance to purity codes, by radical inclusivity rather than by hierarchical exclusivity, and inward transformation rather than outward ritual. In place of 'be holy, for I am holy' from Leviticus," Borg says, "Jesus deliberately substituted the call to be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Jesus continually sidestepped the laws of his culture. He reached out to tax collectors, those who collaborated with Rome, with soldiers, leopards, the blind, prostitutes, crazed and possessed people, women and Gentiles of all kinds. He risked becoming unclean by touching dead people and restoring them to life. While this passage centers on the issues of his disciples not washing their hands, Jesus slips in the statement that no food is unclean, thus challenging dozens of laws that surround various foods. He says to his listeners, "Nothing that goes into a person from the outside can defile, but things that come out of people are what defile." Again, it's the human heart Jesus is concerned about. What lies in our hearts is the measure of holiness by Jesus' standards. This is an important message because throughout history, we continually make rules to define who is in and who is out, who is pure and who is not, who has access to power and privilege and who does not. Our Declaration of Independence states that all men are created equal. However, equal did not include everyone and still doesn't. The framers of our Constitution applied the word equal to land-owning males. African Americans were considered three-fifths of a citizen of the U.S. in the three-fifths clause of the U.S. Constitution. Women could not vote until the Constitution was amended in 1920. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 ended racially biased discriminatory practices that we find again under attack today. Until 1967, interracial marriage was illegal in many states. Many others are considered outcasts of our day, those with AIDS, non-English-speaking people, gays or lesbians, persons of various disabilities. When a group of youth was asked, "Who are the outcasts in our society?" One youth wrote, "I think everyone has a different opinion on this, but in my opinion, the social outcasts are people living in poverty. It isn't really much different than them being lower than us, I guess. Social hierarchy hasn't changed dramatically in the past couple of hundred years. It has solidified. So personally speaking, I think people are classed by how well off they are and the poor just seem to be outcasts. A sad but simple truth, he ends. In Connecticut, for example, we have the greatest disparity between wealth and those who are less well off than at any other part of the country. In Hartford, for example, the eviction rate among the working poor is double the national average. Another youth from the group said, the mentally disabled, handicapped, children of interracial marriages, and Islamic people are outcasts today. When I'm being honest with myself, I find it humbling to do an exercise to consider, who is it that I deem an outcast? I think more often than not, I find myself in the place of judgment when I'm outside of my comfort zone than anything else. Ignorance of the other, fear of difference, and more importantly, an inability to confront levels of my own discomfort are difficult when I'm challenged to open myself up to people who are radically different from myself. This weekend, we remember the dignity of the human person through the celebration of the dignity of work and labor. We human beings need to create and contribute to the larger community, a basic need in every person, regardless of class, race, religion, or standing. Expounding on the theme of the dignity of work, Pope Francis recently said, "We do not get dignity from power or money or culture. We get dignity from work," he noted. "Work is fundamental to the dignity of the person. Work, to use an image, anoints with dignity, fills us with dignity, makes us similar to God, who has worked and still works and always acts." In our baptismal promises, we pledge to respect the dignity of every human being. This is a hallmark of Jesus' teaching and highlighted in today's gospel. One way we celebrate the dignity of all people is to recognize the contributions of all through the dignity of work. So on this Labor Day weekend, when the gospel of Jesus challenges the rules that govern his culture, I leave you with the same question that I asked myself while writing these thoughts. Who are you or I tempted to label as an outcast, and why?